This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, good morning and welcome to The Morning Run. I'm Roshan Kanesan. In studio with me, Kusu Chuang and Wong Xiaoning.
Jozan.
Good morning to the both of you as well. So how's the last day been for you? Anything exciting happen?
Oh my goodness, I can barely keep up, right, Chuang?
Incredible.
It's an exciting time to be in news, but exhausting nonetheless also.
If you're a sadomasochist.
Yeah. It's like you can't even go home and sleep, you know, because when you get up, there'll be like three new headlines.
Yeah.
Like this morning, we have a lot to cover, I guess, based on that.
It's like having a nightmare. And you think you're having a nightmare, then you wake up, but then you realize the reality is the nightmare. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, I vaguely get the idea.
The dream that you had the night before was actually a better reality than the reality that we woke up
This sounds like an episode of Inception.
Groundhog Day,
You should sell that idea to Christopher Nolan. I'm sure he'll make Inception 2.
He might, and set in Malaysia, in Putrajaya, actually.
I mean, if you take a look at all of this, GE14, I felt very similarly in those 2 days after the election. And that was the part one, right, of this movie. And then this is the sequel. Whatever's happening right now, is there a government? Is there no government?
Yeah.
This is the sequel. And then wherever this takes us, I guess the end of the trilogy will be interesting.
I don't think there's an end, you know.
I mean, it's an end.
Politics, right?
Well, any franchise, there's no end. But what you've got...
There was an end to Avengers, but so no, this one, no end.
It still continues.
There's protagonists, for sure.
There are trilogies. But, you know, we've got a lot to talk about. And we've got a great show lined up. Lots of things. We're going to be exploring more of what's going on in Malaysia. But that's in the 7 to 8. This is 6 a.m. stretch, which is the lighter side of serious business. So we're going to be talking about leadership, actually, for the first part.
Yeah, because we've had some leadership changes or supposedly leadership changes. And I'm going to be asking the question about what do you do when you don't like your boss or his working style, his co-working style, or your co-workers, but you just can't quit?
Yes, and after the 6:30 a.m. news, we'll be checking out the papers. Chuang, how are the papers? Let's give a tease to everyone out there. What's
well,
on the front pages?
Only one word, and it starts with P, ends with S.
I wonder.
And it's not the one you think. It's politics.
I'm sure everyone's excited to take a look at that. But in the meantime, what can Captain Picard teach us about leadership? And if you don't know who that is, you need to get yourself immersed in more pop culture.
Yeah, to infinity and beyond.
Oh my God. Let us know what you think over on Twitter at BFM Radio or over WhatsApp at 018-789-8899. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, you're tuned in to The Morning Run with Roshan, Xiaoning and Chuang. And that was Harmony Hall by Vampire Weekend. Harmony Hall, that's something we could be using right now, a little space to stay away from whatever's going on out there in the real world.
Precise mundo.
That's the exact answer I was looking for, Chuang. Thank you for that. And right now, we're going to be taking a look at what Captain Picard can teach us about leadership. So this is a nice little article in Fast Company. And they've got a few things here. One about diplomacy, about action instead of talking, and things like standing up for your values. But I'm looking at the two of you here. Star Trek was your era. Anything stand out to you here?
I was never really a techie, but Captain Picard, I mean, he existed in that fictionalized series in the 24th century, right? And he used to navigate new universes with his starship, whatever thing, right?
Oh gosh.
Yes, the thing.
They used to sail through cosmos.
Yeah, that's what I remember. He'll say engage, right? But he's on the deck.
The leadership qualities that came as a result of his the series, which we saw, was very interesting. Five particular qualities in particular, right? One of which was the need for a diverse team to navigate new frontiers. Now, that sounds interesting in the 21st century context. But she knew already by then. But why don't we get that picture here? I don't understand.
Yeah, I think the what's important by this and is that his team was diverse because each of them bring with them a set of point of views, because we don't understand everything and we can't see everything through everyone else's own eyes. As much as we try to empathize with other people, there are certain points of view that are only apparent to those who live those lives.
Okay. Well, Captain Picard had a blind Somalian, he had an android, a Klingon warrior, a swaggering commander, a telepathic humanoid, and a medical officer. Pakatan Harapan has a nonagenarian, all kinds of people. I'm not going to go into those specific skills, you know who I'm talking about. But that diverse team was good for about 18 months.
I mean, we'll still see. There's still a lot to be seen as to what happens there. But it exemplifies the importance of diversity, because you need the different points of view, especially in a diverse culture. And what was important about Star Trek was they were exploring new worlds. And with that, new cultures, and they had certain values that they needed to uphold.
I think the diverse team is, of course, you know, good, because like you have different points of view, but you must have shared values or a shared common interest, right? Or a shared belief in something. So perhaps the, you know, this, as if you kind of bring it towards the Pakatan Harapan kind of, correlate it. The breakup kind of happened because there wasn't this shared value.
There wasn't a shared belief,
right? So yeah, you can have a diverse team. It works. It should work ideally. But if you don't come together over a common value, common belief, that diverse team will also break up.
I mean, that explains every single plot point in every movie. When you're trying to team up against anything, you always need that common denominator. And they did have a shared value. That was G14. And that was to get Dato' Sri Najib Razak out of office.
At that time, yeah, it worked in that time.
That was the common value that was shared by all these different factions that for most of the time did not have anything to really bind themselves together.
Leadership quality number three, according to Captain Picard, you need to be diplomatic.
Ah, interesting.
The events of the last 2 days have shown that there was no diplomacy, right?
Maybe no communication.
No communication.
I mean,
so like say if for example one of the parties leaves the coalition and then finds out that their chairman has actually resigned, and then now they're a bit rudderless. Do you know what I mean? A bit like that. Really.
I get the vague feeling that you're pointing towards something, but I'm not too sure what it is.
It's like your team, right? They all ended up having separate meetings without you knowing, but then you know about it. Would you feel hurt?
Yeah.
Also,
it's like having a WhatsApp group with everybody except the boss, and then the boss doesn't know until
the
last minute.
Or like you had a party but you didn't invite everyone, and then you know, you hurt some feelings. So yes.
Yeah, but diplomacy is going to be very important now to see how everyone bridges the gap. Whatever has happened, I think that's very clear to know that no one actually knows the entire story of what's transpired over the weekend. But what going forward, with all this, obviously trust has been broken by certain parts, and diplomacy is going to be very important. I mean, we saw, if anyone saw the Lim Guan Eng press conference yesterday, I think it was very apparent that that they were together, and that there is a sense of they're working behind the scenes, and it was an emotional conversation they had and all of that.
And perhaps the most entertaining part was when he tried to pronounce chicanery. I like the guy. He's a nice guy. He's very, very, very intelligent. But
what I thought was very meta was how he used Game of Thrones as an example.
Exactly.
And I've always thought that Game of Thrones and Malaysian politics kind of were hand in hand. But the last thing here, one of the, is kind of a modified thing from Yoda, which is don't just tell, do. Which is do or do not. There is no try. You must show your. And these are all leadership points that we've heard before. Right, but Captain Picard just seems to bring it together. And why this came up was because there is a new show called Picard, and it exemplifies him as a very old man who has had to step back into a certain role, which is very interesting. But you know, before we go on too long on this, we're going to be talking about a certain adjacent topic here. How do you deal with a bad boss or coworker when you can't quit? Let us know what you think over on Twitter at BFM Radio or over WhatsApp at 018-789-8899. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, you're tuned into The Morning Run with Roshan, Xiaoning and Chuang. And that was How It's Going to Be by Third Eye Blind. And I think that song is apt on many different levels, and the question many Malaysians are asking right now.
Exactly.
How's it going to be?
Hey, brother, how's it going to be, brother? How?
Yeah, and I don't know, brother. I look at this band, Third Eye Blind, I'm like, we need a first and second eye before we can get to a third eye being blind.
And in all cases, we are blind right now. We are flying blind, right? Yeah. We have no idea what's going to happen next.
Yeah, every day, every hour, the headlines change, right?
Yeah. And,
you know, so I think it's going to be the case for at least the next few days. We're going to be wondering what's it going to be, and everyone's going to be half blind.
So first Mahathir is Prime Minister, then he's not Prime Minister, then he's Prime Minister.
No, interim. First, and then now we have no cabinet.
First everybody wants him to go, then he goes, then now everybody wants him to stay.
Yeah.
What? How's he going to be, brother?
So it seems like there's a lot of movement in and out of parties and stuff like that. So we've got a related story here. How do you deal with a bad boss or co-worker when you can't quit? I think there's a certain there's a certain relatability here, because at some points you feel like you can't quit the position, either because you feel bound to the job, or at the same time you need the money. But in this situation, it's all about keeping the government together. I think there's a certain...
Well, there are bosses who left parties.
Yeah. Ah,
I don't like what you're doing. I left the boss. And then the party's like, "Hey, what happened? This is a surprise. How come? But we want you to stay." No, he's gone. He's left the room. You know? That's Malaysia for you.
Yeah, but I mean, it's not just... this is politics, as I think coalition politics tends to be like this, because it's a group of parties, right? And the minute the parties don't see eye to eye, there are ways that you can stop working together. One is by exactly what we're seeing right now.
What did old Will Shakespeare once say? There's no honour among thieves. Not that I'm saying anything here, but you know what I mean?
I don't have as much class as you, Chuang. I don't know Shakespeare that well.
Keith Kam quoted Shakespeare last night, so I had to go and find it up on Google.
So you're borrowing class from Keith Kam.
We're going to talk to him at 7:50. He's going to give us a rundown on what happened in the last, 12, 14 hours. Let's see what Shakespeare he comes up with.
Yes, but in the meantime, let's get to the question of how do you deal with a bad boss or co-worker when you just can't quit, which is a very real situation for many Malaysians who maybe can't quit because of money problems.
Okay, in my first job, I was internal audit in a bank, merchant bank, right?
You were an audit, Chuang.
Internal audit.
First I almost job. Fainted.
and this guy, colleague, much more senior than me, 5 to 10 years older, he said to me, "CYA, bro, CYA, cover your ass, right? Documents everything, every email, every message, every text, record it, right? Because there was one guy I didn't get along with. He said, "CYA, bro."
So he this
you want
this,
a CYA?
Yes,
cover your ass.
And I have to say, yes, it's not a bad thing actually.
Yeah, because you know what his ex job was? Bank Negara.
I mean, audit trails, in evidence, these are all things that are necessary for anything, right? Because you always want to know that you are covered in case anything does go
wrong. Well, it's evidence gathering, isn't it? Essentially, mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think there are a lot of people over the weekend who wish they had their own evidence trails to prove their own stories, because there are a lot of conflicting stories coming out. And I think one of them includes that I think Dato' Sri Azman Ali has now come out to say that he was trying to protect the Prime Minister.
Yeah, because otherwise it'll be the case of you said, he said, she said, right?
Which so, it is right now.
Yeah,
that's
it
the situation.
So the only way to kind of overcome this is to have a paper trail, so that one day when there is forensic accounting, I don't know what you call it.
Like those WhatsApp messages that Joe Lau had, which then became evidence in court. Remember that? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which is Justo eventually wanted to trade but couldn't trade for money, remember?
Yeah. But so coming back to this, documenting everything is important, because you always want to know that you have done what you need to do, you've covered your KPIs. These are all important things. And Zhuang, I've had my own older relatives tell me the same thing.
Yeah.
No matter what in the corporate world or any job, you make sure that you have everything you need in writing. Never, everyone can say anything they want. Getting things done, you need it always in black and white. And following on to that is the second one, this article by Business Insider, is talking to HR. And for all intents and purposes, HR is the representative of employees. How strong your HR department is a different question altogether, but it is supposed to be your ally.
Okay, I would go broader than that. I would say, look, talk to HR, let them understand your pains, but also go beyond and establish a power base. Not power base per se, but your support base. Because if the proverbial poo hits the fan, you need to have people who can say, "Yes, she did do that," or "Yes, he did do that." Yes,
you need a few supporters team, right?
Yes.
At least who will come to your defense.
Yeah, and these are things you don't learn in university. These are those social skills that you will never learn on WhatsApp. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, there's
no book. These are human skills that you have to learn.
And all in all, for HR to be able to act, HR needs information. And if no one is providing HR information, there's nothing really that can be done in the long run. But on our own parts, I think how we react can be very important as well. Because especially if you're in a situation where you can't quit, you're going to have to learn to deal with it in the meantime.
Well, there's nothing more galling to a usurper than to have someone else on the other side just wash it off like so much water off a duck's back, right? So if I'm trying to irk you, Xiaoning, and then you just like, nothing, right? And just you
bochap,
walk off.
Bochap,
right? Bochap,
you bochap. That's the best sometimes, actually.
That's the best.
Yeah, right? Because
no reaction.
You're just like calm as can be, and if anything, it'll drive them even more nuts.
It'll drive them nuts. I tell you.
I mean, you could take a page out of Anger Management, the movie, right? There's the Woo
Adam Sandler.
Just whenever you, I actually do this sometimes.
Bad boys, Woo Sa, right?
Oh yeah, sorry. That was a cardinal sin of mine, mistaking
Woo Sa
as Anger Management. But you know, there are lots of ways to deal with it. Mindfulness is also one of them. And being able to disarm them by validating frustrations, that's also an interesting one. Essentially, just going with the flow.
Empathize them a little bit and then they'll be so confused.
Yes. And up next, actually, we've got the 6:30 a.m. news. I'm sure that's going to be an interesting update to whatever's going on in the world or in Malaysia. And after that, is this the end of Pakatan Harapan government? Well, let's see what the papers think. Let us know what you think over on Twitter at BFM Radio or over WhatsApp at 018-789-8899. And to take you there, a very apt song once again, Come Undone by Duran Duran. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, you're tuned in to The Morning Run with Roshan, Xiaoning and Chuang. And that was Hard to Explain by The Strokes and perfectly exemplifies the current situation in the country. And I think if you're taking a look at the papers, it's the same sentiment going on. This is all just so hard to explain.
Yeah, it is. But perhaps the most interesting story is that Liverpool beat West Ham. They were losing 2-1 at the 70th minute and then they came back. Just really galling. I wish Manchester United would do better than that. But perhaps what is less important is on the front page of the papers.
Well, it depends if you're politics. A Liverpool fan, you'll be like, this is a bit of good news for the day, right? Just start the day on a good note.
Oh, it's normal status quo. Liverpool wins everything at this point. For the rest of us, we're just hoping that, for the Arsenal fans out there, we just hope that they lose one game so they don't go unbeaten this season.
Okay, so here's the connection to Malaysia, right? Carlsberg are the sponsors of Liverpool, have done so for the last 31 years, longest running sponsorship, and guess what? Carlsberg is also in Malaysia, right? And Carlsberg and Heineken yesterday were the two biggest losers on the share market. Carlsberg lost $4 of their share price, man.
And that's in Heineken, the FD, right? The Financial Daily.
Yeah, it's in the Financial Daily. I mean, obviously, yesterday, the Bursa Malaysia, we lost 43 billion ringgit in terms of declines.
40 points.
40 points. We closed below 1,500 points. 1,490 points.
Yeah.
It's terrible. There's blood all over the dance floor. Yes. Michael Jackson was right.
And if you look at the rest of the papers, I've got the Metro, the Sina Harian, and the Star in front of me. And all of them are similar veins here. One is the Star's headline is Caretaker for Now. Metro is Pimpin Sementara. And then we've got Kerajaan Pakatan Harapan Tumbang. So Sina Harian going with the straight up, Pakatan Harapan has fallen.
Well, I've got the Singapore Straits Times.
Oh, have you?
Yes.
How did you manage to finagle a copy?
Online, darling, online.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, everything is available online now.
She's cheating a little bit here.
We're
looking at the papers, she's gone online.
No, that's we should, you know, it's interesting to look at papers beyond Malaysia, right?
Well, especially
our
Lopez,
neighbor.
Isn't it, right? It is.
I mean, it's also just an idea what our neighbours are thinking. So the headline on the Singapore Straits Times is Mahathir made caretaker prime minister after King accepts his resignation. Now, the other side, which is for premium users, those who are willing to pay.
Is that us or not us?
Not us.
Not us.
Yeah, there's this whole I'm op-ed piece. It's going to be amid political chaos, Mahathir holds all the cards. I'm curious what that one says.
Yeah, exactly.
And if you want to find out, you apparently have to pay. So I guess we don't have that information for you right now.
On the Malaysian Reserve, obviously they were listening to BFM yesterday because on the front page of their paper today is the politicians. It's the politics story. Yesterday was on the second page. Their headline is Malaysia in Turmoil, talking about how the Pakatan government has fallen after Bersatu pulls out. Of course, now they don't have the majority, right? With Bersatu out and Azmin's band of brothers and sisters. No, I think they only have 92, which is obviously short of the 111.
Well, that's
112 needed.
That's also assuming they don't have Warisan, which is this is all still up in the air at this point.
That's right.
Because as much as far I think as we know, we still have a government or interim government at least, and there is a lot of until we find out otherwise, until the secretary of the government says otherwise, we still have that. But there's a lot of sentiments going along that. We earlier spoke about how Dato' Sri Azman Ali is coming out to say that he issued a statement last night saying that we are not traitors, and he has, and all of this has been branded the I guess the ultimate villain here. But I guess we have to find out whether he's just the front facing villain and whether there is a big bad behind all of this.
The unseen hand
as always
that big large hand which is always omnipresent in Malaysia?
Yes, but yeah. We'll have to see. But there's a lot of different sentiments going along, and John, like you talked about, Bersatu leaving the coalition. At the same time, we had Tun Dr. Mahathir quitting as chairperson of Bersatu, and all along the same timeline. So it is all very interesting, to say the least.
Yeah. Even the Jakarta Post, because I'm going international today, guys, has this, I'm not sure on the front pages because it's online again. Their headline is Malaysia's Mahathir quits but asked to stay as interim PM.
Okay, so that's something we already know.
Yeah.
Page 2 of the Malaysian Reserve, also something very interesting and perhaps which at some quarters quite worried yesterday about whether there was going to be a social turmoil, some kind of civil strife. The Inspector General of Police has been quoted as saying that the situation remains peaceful. Do not speculate. So that's good. There is calm in the ocean at this point in time. So far, so good.
Yes. Actually, I don't know about y'all, but some of my relatives have also received all these ridiculous WhatsApps about possible riots and everything. And as usual, and somebody from our news desk pointed out, these are the same WhatsApps that go regardless, that kind of forwarded regardless of the event. So once again, discern fact from fiction. If it sounds incredulous, don't send it out.
I think it's very important that in this time, knowing that there are a lot of rumours flying about, you hear one thing in 1 minute and the next minute you've got something else that's completely contrary to that. So, and this is the definition of virality, right? And if you're spreading along fake news, you create confusion in that mess. So if you don't know if it's true, avoid sharing it at this point. And we're going to head into a few messages now. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9. You're tuned in to The Morning Run with Roshan, Xiaoning and Chuang. And that was Baggy Trousers by Madness. And I think Madness exemplifies also what's going on here in Malaysia at this point. And we're taking a look at the papers and the headlines going on. And I've got one here from the taking a lead from Xiaoning over there, who took a look at the international papers. I'm taking a look at BBC, and you've got a little piece here called Mahathir the Master Manipulator. And just to read you the first line, this is by Jonathan Head of BBC News. Mahathir Mohamad has played the role of reluctant leader, dragged out of comfortable retirement by the needs of his country unconvincingly. No one is fooled. Very bold statement there. And basically coming to the entire, the be-all and all of this story is that, Mahathir is the master manipulator, according to Jonathan Head of the BBC News.
Yeah, and there's also something in the New York Times, since we're going really, really global today. They're actually quoting their Singapore's Goh Chok Tong, who was the former Prime Minister of Singapore, who actually took to Twitter to express his astonishment with what's going on in Malaysia. And he said, Goh Chok Tong said, "It's a privilege for a septuagenarian to be able to enjoy nature and the simple pleasures of life, unlike Mahathir."
Yeah,
who
exactly.
Is a very busy 95 years old this year?
Bloomberg has gone with a power struggle angle. Anissa Sukri and Hadi Azmi writing. I think this is kind of like a semi-op-ed politics from Bloomberg. Malaysia power struggle boils over with Mahathir's resignation. Obviously, then going with the interim leadership. And Anwar confident his camp will retain power despite defections. Of course, one struggles to see how that's going to happen. That can happen if Bersatu retains its decision to leave the coalition.
I mean, it's all about getting numbers on your side at this point as to whether you can maintain the election and the government. But here, over here in the Malay Mail, just taking a look at considering the fact that Malay Mail is no longer a newspaper in physical form but just online. They're going with the headline story here is Bersatu rejects Dr. M's resignation as chairman, affirms decision to quit Pakatan.
Do they affirm their decision to leave the coalition though?
We shall find out then which Pakatan they're referring to. We'll find out also that.
That's right. The NST Online, written by a lady called Avila Geraldine, suggests that Malaysia is going for a snap election. They cite local political analysts like the University of Malaya, Malaysia Sabah academician, Dr. Romzi Ationg, saying that no side of politics has enough numbers on hand at the moment. That's a fact. So, nevertheless, such possibility depends largely on which side Sabah and Sarawak are going to support. And you're right in saying that. And so I think, Xiaoning, you mentioned that East Malaysia are the kingmakers. And they will therefore play a significant role. Both states can be hailed as the kingmaker, he opines.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the numbers, GPS as a total has 18 and Warisan has about 9. So these are big parties that can change everything.
Yeah, 18 plus 9 is 27. 27 is one more than Besatu.
It's more than enough. And GPS, if GPS realigns, whoever they realign with is more than enough to take them, that party into government. Even at 92, 92 plus 18 is 110. I was just shy of taking government. And if you have Warisan on your side, then you will be able
and
to
form
government.
And you're not really sure whether everybody's going to pledge allegiance within their party, right? They might be party hoppers. But I think the New States Times has a very good cover reminder, actually. It says, the way forward for the nation, the NST says, political strife and intrigues must end immediately so the affairs of the state can take precedence. And in there, he basically says, good of nation is important.
Yeah, I mean, you know, what is it today? Tuesday, right? Thursday was supposed to have the stimulus package, right? Everybody's forgotten how bad the economy is. COVID-19 has now gone truly global. I mean, the curve has gone parabolic. Italy's got, what, 8 deaths, right? Yesterday, the S&P had a horrendous day. So the
1,000 points at the height.
Yeah, the second biggest points drop in history, right? And here we are, faffing about among ourselves. I mean, what is going on? You know, the more important thing is the economy. And here we are squabbling among ourselves.
Yes, and there's supposed to be news around the stimulus package at the end of this week that's supposed to help the economy out, but no one knows what's happening there. There have been ministers who have said that work is going along as it was, but I mean, now that cabinet has been dissolved, I don't know whether they can really do what they want to do.
Shane Lee Subra by Twitter 5 minutes ago says, Malaysia don't need saving. Our doctors and nurses are in hospitals. Our firemen and police are in their stations. Our forces are in their posts. Our teachers in schools. Where are you, Saifuddin Abdullah and Barubian? Shouldn't you be behind a desk on the ground or on the ground leading?
Well, technically, they don't have jobs anymore because cabinet has been dissolved.
That's right.
But they are politicians nonetheless, and we still... that's a good point, exemplifying that our civil service is still up and running. And taking a look... And up next, actually, we've got the 7 a.m. News. And as Chuang mentioned, there was a bloodbath in U.S. markets. So we'll be taking a look at that with our regular caller, Joe Quinlan. To take you there, something that we seem to not be able to do, Get Over It by Eagles. Stay tuned to BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.